Welcome back to the Advisor. If you have not yet, please like and subscribe so we can continue to provide you with amazing content like today. Meet Miss Michelle Davies. She has a podcast on her channel. She is an internationally acclaimed healer in osteopathy and an author. So she focuses on empowering individuals to take responsibility for their pain and suffering, guiding them to achieve self-healing on physical, mental, and spiritual levels. So it's not deep work at all. Today she's back. If you have not checked out her previous episodes, please go back and check them out because they were incredibly powerful. But today we're going to go into the vulnerability side of this. We're going to discuss really the pivotal moment that changed her world and kind of catapulted her into this way of living, of helping other people thrive through her own experience. And she's agreed to share about a very vulnerable story. And I won't spoil any of the details. I'm going to let her share. Before we get started, I wanted to say a quick thanks to Spreaker and iHeartRadio and to our listeners and our fans. Thank you so much for your dedication. We will continue to strive to provide you with amazing content like today, as I said before. Michelle, it's really nice to see you again.
Thank you. It's really great to see you as well. And thank you for creating this space today to share what I'm about to share and with the intention of impacting more people's lives. So I'm very grateful to you.
And it's so commendable for someone to want to share such a deep, personal, vulnerable part of themselves to help the collective. And that's all part of healing. And it's not uncommon for someone to go through something incredibly traumatic and then come out on the other side a completely different person with a completely different path, maybe even putting them on their path, their purpose. And so I'm excited to hear all about it. And yeah, I think we should get into it. Where would you like to start?
I would say 21 years ago.
Wow, 21 years ago. How old were you?
Let's start there. Good question. I'm 50 now. Do the
You're
math
doing
on
29.
that.
29 years old, Michelle. 29-year-old Michelle Davies. This is where we're going.
Sorry.
Okay. I got in my time machine. I'm picturing it.
Yeah, so many years ago it seems, but even though many years ago, that the connection that I have with being that age because of what I would have gone through then still lives with me now, still extremely significant and very impactful on my life since then. So very happy to talk about that and yeah,
I'd
start
love to
there.
hear about how it's impacting you, but maybe you could share the story first.
Yes, thank you. Yes. So when I yeah, at that age, late 20s, I'd already had one child, Jack. He's now 23. So I had delivered him a very healthy pregnancy, very healthy delivery, in fact, textbook labor. He was a home birth in
Oh,
water as
wow.
well. Yes. And almost discouraged about doing a water birth home delivery on a first baby as well. But I just felt that that's what I wanted to do. And it was actually really successful. And it was an incredible experience. And I was a regular churchgoer at the time, too. So religion was a strong part of my being. I'd be going to church on Sundays and had the intention also of bringing my children up in the Catholic faith. So God was a part of my life. And after then having Jack, my eldest son, we went on then to have a second child, second baby. And it was during this pregnancy where this trauma happened. So I would have been 22 weeks expecting. And normally you have the 20-week scan, but it was so busy for the hospital at the time that it was delayed. And the first scan had revealed that there was no problems. So the baby was developing. That's normally about 12 weeks of pregnancy. And then it's the 20-week scan usually, which looks at the baby's organs in depth. And it's at that scan that you can find out as well whether it's perhaps a boy or a girl. So we were really excited, obviously, to be having that scan. So we'd already got Jack. We wouldn't have wanted to find out the sex of the baby at that time, but we were attending the appointment to know that everything was well. All was well in pregnancy. So we were very excited to go along to the hospital and to have the ultrasound scan. And I was showing at this point as well, so everybody could see that I was expecting. So when you have one child, it's not so easy to see when you're 22 weeks, but when you've had one child, like everything is stretched. So
Yeah, it just
you look.
freely flows freely. Yeah, no more sucking it in, right?
Was showing and people could see that I was expecting, and obviously the talk of having this second child on the way. So we attended the appointment for the scan, and I was having the ultrasound, and then the sonographer, she said, "We have a problem. We can't actually detect the kidneys. So there are no kidneys showing up on the scan." I didn't really understand what that meant. And then she said, "We can't see the kidneys, and really, we need to send you for another scan to Birmingham, which was up the motorway, because they would have a better facility to be able to look at more in depth at the arteries and the veins of the developing infant." But I started to question more, what does that mean? If there are no kidneys developing, what does that actually mean? And she said, "Well, if the baby doesn't have kidneys, then the lungs won't develop. And if the lungs don't develop, then your baby will never take a breath. So this pregnancy will not be viable. So there will be no baby." So this was a huge shock at the time,
Yeah, how did
devastating.
you feel? Do you remember that moment and what that felt like? And I imagine it's so vivid to you.
Yeah, I do. I remember it very clearly. I just couldn't stop crying. I was so distressed, so heartbroken. I couldn't control the tears. Came out of the ultrasound room to be received actually by an angel. She and I love her to bits. She's actually a staff member at the hospital, a midwife, and she happened to be on duty walking through this area that I was coming out of myself, and we crossed paths. And she was like an angel at the time because I was so upset. I couldn't control the crying, and she hugged me, and she talked to me, and she loved me, and she was so compassionate. And we're friends now as a result, all these years later. She's actually
What
been
divine timing. What
it
divine
was
timing.
it was divine timing, definitely. I felt like that was the angel that I needed, and that was God's way of reaching to me at that time, was through this lady called Cassie. That helped speaking to her, but it's I was able to control some of the emotion and able to me to go then travel to the other hospital with my husband. And so then we traveled to the hospital further away. This was within the same day. And we had the scan, and they then explained that there are no kidneys, so there is no amniotic fluid. We don't know why, but your baby will not take a breath, and there is a decision that you now need to make. Do you continue the pregnancy on? At the moment, you're keeping your baby alive, so you could go to full term. We're not sure if the baby may die within you, and that would result obviously in then no decision to make, or that you decide that you're going to end the pregnancy now so that you don't have to go to full term, but you're keeping your baby alive. So the period of time after that was where the very deep grief and depression and anxiety came after that. And it was the feelings of why was this happening to me? What had I done wrong in my life? Because this was this many years ago, 21 years ago, very different to the person that I am now, but the person I am now is because of this event I went through. But at the time, I went very much into being the victim of this situation. And I couldn't understand why God would do this to me. I felt like
The
I'd been ignored.
blaming. Yeah, you were in the blaming phase.
And I was trying to understand why it had happened, as
Right.
well as what do I do? What's the decision actually here that I'm going to make? Do I end this life within me because I'm carrying a life? Was that actually terminating a life? Because also being raised Catholic, you wouldn't do that. It wouldn't be a choice to end a life. So it was very difficult for me to be contemplating, did I bring the pregnancy to an end or did I continue to full term? Either way, I would have to go through delivery. So I had to face the thought of naturally delivering this baby that would have to be delivered through the vagina, through the birth canal. They couldn't take the baby out. I was hoping that there would be a way that somehow I wouldn't need to go through labor.
Right. I'd let it just disappear.
That it was a case of no, you have to deliver the baby, which means then you have to go into labor. We have to induce you into labor. You have to go through the contractions. You have to deliver this baby. I turned to the church. Because I was regularly going to the church, I got on very well with the priest. So I remember very clearly meeting with the priest and asking his guidance from a religious perspective because I didn't know what to do.
Right.
Was it ending this life? You know, was it like an abortion? And he was incredible. He was really helpful and he helped me make the decision that that I would terminate the pregnancy at that time and not actually go to full term and deliver because the outcome would have been the same, but it would have been harder on me emotionally and physically to continue to the end. I felt that that helped me. It took the pressure off, or it took some of the like the feeling of guilt away, I think, by making that decision with a priest because I valued his opinion and
Right.
saw him as a spokesman for God.
Yeah.
All the time I'm going through this traumatic conversation in my head still about what have I done wrong? I feel like your God is punishing me. What have I done that's so bad that you would put this on me? Why do I have to do all of this? Why do I have to endure this? The grief was something I've never experienced before or since. It was like a divine purging. It was so like deep. It was just the depths of it were horrific.
Sounds like
And
an
the
awakening in a sense, like your body was just purging all of the things out of your chakras, and your body was releasing on such a deep level. When I read about awakenings, that those are symptomatic of an actual awakening. So it's interesting. I'm not trying to pull away from the vulnerability of the story by bringing in like my experience or what I feel that might have been, but to me, that sounds like it was a full body awakening.
And I believe that I now believe that that was my awakening,
Wow.
because of that feeling of
Yeah.
purging. And at one particular time that I was feeling like I was on my knees with grief, I felt a presence and something, someone put their hand on my right shoulder in that moment of time. I felt a hand on my shoulder. And at that moment, I was completely serene and calm, and all of the tears and the grief stopped in a flash.
Wow, I just got chills.
It was the most extraordinary thing that happened.
I
And
literally, my hair is standing up on my
yeah,
body. That's crazy.
and mine. And in that moment, I felt like I was connected again, and that everything was going to be okay, and I was safe, and I was making the right decision, and I was being supported and loved through that process.
Wow.
And then I was able to go through the process. I also had a lot of healing support from my mum's sister, my auntie Rita. That was really pivotal in me being able to go through the process. Because once I'd got my head around it, I then needed to also work out how I was actually going to be able to push and go through labour. And my auntie was incredible at being able to do a visualization with me. And we imagined, we named him Baby Gabriel. We imagined him being in a golden balloon, and this was to help me before the labor, to see that Gabriel was in the balloon and that I was cutting the tie to the balloon and allowing the balloon to go up into the air. I mean, that's very brief, but it was like over a half an hour sort of period of time, this meditation. But that was incredible going through that process to be able to go through labor. And yes, I went through the labor and I delivered Gabriel at 23 weeks, and I think he was about a pound in weight, and babies can survive at 23 weeks. So I
Right.
held my baby at that stage. He had all of his fingernails and toenails, and he had
Wow.
all of his features. So his nose, beautiful nose, little ears, and all his fingers and toes and on the outside just looked perfect. And the whole time going through labor, I could feel him moving. So I could feel the life inside me
Right.
right up until the last stage when I actually pushed him and I delivered him. But up until that point, I was keeping him alive and I could feel his life. And then I held him afterwards and cradled him as if he was alive. And the priest came to the hospital with my parents as well. The priest visited and we said prayers together and we had a service within the hospital room. We wrapped him in a shawl which was blessed. So we blessed him. And it was actually very, very beautiful. It was so meaningful as well to Father Paul. He found himself to be very upset by it, but also in a beautiful way. We were celebrating really as well the short life that Gabriel had when he was inside me. And now I realize that I have an angel with me, Angel Gabriel, but Gabriel is always with me. And I just feel like I am always protected. I'm always guided. I always feel safe because of delivering Gabriel and having Gabriel present with me. And I've had various times since then in the last 21 years where I've just felt his presence with me. Although I wouldn't have wanted to go through any of that, I can see that I've had to go through that to be where I am now. And I feel it. That I have been blessed by that to go through it is actually in create in create this I'm empowered as a result of that, has created that for me also to be able to help other people heal on their journeys, because my work is to impact lives, but also it's more about the patient being able to heal themselves. And it's made me a stronger, more powerful force to help people heal through this particular experience.
Yeah, it thank you so much for sharing all of that. That is an incredibly vulnerable share, but such an impactful story. When you started sharing about letting him go in that gold balloon, your aura got so much brighter. And I feel like it was almost like him twinkling out and saying, like, he's there with you and he's encouraged, but your aura right now is so bright and so beautiful. Let me ask you this, that moment you spoke of someone putting their hand on your shoulder. Have you contemplated that, and what do you feel that was? And was that when your connection to the divine began?
I would say it was a pivotal part of that, but my relationship with God, with the Almighty, has been at a much deeper level and a more personal level since that experience. I've always believed in God. I've been raised Catholic, going to the church, but I was a churchgoer that would pray on a Sunday, and this helped me have a personal relationship with God where I was actually talking to God. It would be a direct communication on a daily basis. So it'd gone from once a week to then all the moments of the day, every day. Just this depth of relationship that I now have. And of course, that over 21 years has completely grown. So day by day, it's just got even stronger. But I feel that I have angels around me, and the touch on my shoulder would have been an angel, and bring such comfort knowing that I felt the presence of an angel.
What did that feel like? When you say, did you actually feel like it was a hand? Did you
Yeah,
feel
it
okay?
was a hand. Yeah, it was
Beautiful.
definitely, it's that definite feeling of that is a hand on my shoulder. And because I was in the depths of despair at the time, completely sobbing my heart out on my own, sobbing. And when that actually happened, it was so obvious that it happened because of the pressure feeling of someone's hand on my shoulder that all the emotion that I was going through completely stopped. Like I'd just been, slapped around the face in some way, because it was just like a complete shock. But wait to wake
Life
you
force.
up.
Yes, it's like the life force energy of God came down and just took your pain.
Yes, there was no pain. I was in a complete state of peace and tranquility and calm and safety. And there was no dread or despair. It just completely went away with the touch on my shoulder. So I know that I
Incredible.
was touched by divinity through an
That's
angel.
incredible.
Hard for us to understand, isn't it? I haven't got the words necessarily to explain it either, but yeah.
Absolutely. So how then all of this happened and you delivered Gabriel, and then how did that change your life? What happened next? And tell us then how your path changed and what you're doing now.
I wasn't able to speak about this story for a very, very long time. I had to face a lot of hurt every time an expectant mum came for treatment, because I practice osteopathy and I treat babies and children and expectant mums. And I had to then be able to control my emotions whilst I would be treating an expectant mum and help her go through what she may be going through, and holding back on telling my story because I didn't feel as though it would have been professional. So for many years, and also I didn't feel I could talk about it. I would actually get upset about it. It wouldn't be very conducive in the appointment. So I was tested many times as well, for my emotional state as well. But all of that also then made me stronger. Well, this is the first time I'm sharing. Haven't shared it before. I've done a very, very short clip on social media, maybe a couple of years ago. That would have been the first time that I shared. So this is significant as well, this many years on, to share with your audience today, with the hope really that the trust that this will be impactful to someone who may be going through the same thing to see what it is like on the other side. My relationship with God, with the Almighty, is such now that I have 100% faith and trust in God. I have no fears whatsoever, nothing. I never fear anything. I live in a state of trust and authenticity and love. And my life is very peaceful, it's very calm. And I have now such an awareness that I can be the observer rather than being entangled in the stress of a situation. I cope very well with things that happen because I lean on God and I have this relationship with God. And I work with God with every patient that comes to me. So every patient that lies down on my couch and I'm placing my hands on them, I see that as I'm working with God with that patient to enable them to connect with God and for them to heal themselves. They have the capacity to heal and repair without really the need for pharmaceutical intervention. And sometimes not the need for surgery, but they have to be able to connect with their own power, their innate ability that they have. And my work has just got, I've got more and more miracles happen in my practice because of this connection that I have. And now I'm not afraid to speak about the Almighty, my creator, within my clinic room, because also of that. Because
Right.
if you don't like my approach, we'll go elsewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can have that
Quite
attitude.
honestly, I mean,
Yeah.
you're an expert in what you do because of your experience. I know you have the science and the background, and I say the science stuff kind of lightly because I truly believe that for someone to be an expert in their craft, it's because of their heart and what you just explained and what you just went through with us, and I'm so honored and so grateful for this share. And so thank you. But that makes you an expert beyond what anyone could ever learn in a university or from a book. You're taking the vulnerability from that to inspire you to help change other people with that knowledge. So yeah, if anyone doesn't like your approach, you show them the door, damn it. Just say, all right, go find someone else. Because it's your belief and it's your power.
Yes.
Yeah, oh my God, show them the door. So thank you so much for sharing all of this. And let me get you to remind the audience of where they can find you, where they can learn more about you, and just talk to us a little bit more about your services and what you do.
I created a channel on YouTube and I made 260 short videos to impact
Okay.
people's lives, and that is Healing with Michelle Davies on YouTube. And also my website where you can find all of my services is the same. It's Healing with Michelle Davies. And I have a practice in London in Harley Street and in Herefordshire. And the reason I'm in Harley Street is because the public have put me there. The patients have chosen to come to me for my approach, and they do take flights from Europe to see me, and they travel from every county across the country because of my connection with God,
Yeah.
because they can feel that and sense that, and they want to be seen by someone who is authentic.
Right.
Different religions, but a lot of Christians, but all people of all religions will attend appointments with me. But so I work in private practice in those two clinics, and I also offer remote consultations, and I use the biofrequency that I've spoken about before on the podcast, and that's to
Yes.
enable me to help the people that can't take a flight to see me but still would like to receive some form of help with their journey of healing. So I use the
Right.
biofrequency scanning.
Yeah, and for the audience, go back and watch or listen our at last episode because Michelle walks us through what the biofrequency machine does. So it is able to pick up would it be misalignments in the body, and then you learn on the things that you need to focus on or correct, which is so fascinating in itself. So I'll invite the audience to go back and listen to that episode to learn more.
Thank you, Lisa. That's helpful. Yeah.
Yes, it's such a complex tool. Like, we could talk about it for another half hour if we got into it. But it's very helpful. And that's amazing that that gives you the ability to connect with people all over the world. So you're able to work internationally from the UK, from your practice, and still connect with people in the same level. Energy, even though we're unable to see it, it is so powerful. If you think about somebody across the world, you're giving that energy, that person energy. And I don't think we talk about it enough. And I don't think it's widespread known, but it's true. So A, we got to protect our energy. And B, what power for someone like you to work with clients and people who want to connect with you. You can now through these tools and machines. It's such an exciting time.
It is really exciting. It's the first time I've been able to reach so many people so far away with now not my hands on their body, but still my intention, for them to receive healing, but through this technology. And I've had now hundreds of people reporting such benefits and some stories of life over death, but suffering
Wow.
and then no suffering. And it's incredible that it works and I can reach people this way. Yes.
Yeah, that is unbelievable. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much again for being here today, for sharing your vulnerable story, and for just like doing what you do and being the person you are. Thank you for just holding space for the world and for being a healer. It's really beautiful. Do you have any last minute thoughts or anything you want to leave the audience with today?
Well, I would like to thank you again. And I would say for people just to be able to trust in themselves and trust that they can heal from whatever they've gone through, just to connect either with your creator or connect with nature, and you can heal. You can empower yourself to heal. And just even walking outside, being in nature, sitting next to a tree, listening to the birds and the running water. And being grateful, that brings healing.
Thank you for that. And to our audience, thank you for tuning in. To learn more about Michelle Davies, please check out the show notes where we're going to link you to her website and all of those beautiful things that she does. It's never easy in this world, and the deepest, darkest, most terrible, challenging seasons often open the biggest, brightest doors. So if anyone out there is really struggling, Michelle and I invite you to really just embrace that. Hang on tight because something beautiful is about to unfold. I truly believe that in my heart. Until next time, I'm Lisa Urbanski with The Advisor. Bye, everyone.